Hi, everybody. Welcome to Danger Bros. That's our guitar intro for the moment.
Danger Bros!
As always, I'm Grant the Battle Axe Ramos here with Tony the old ball and chain DeSangulis.
That's me, baby.
That's you.
I'm a mace.
Okay, see, there we go. That's turning chicken shit into chicken salad right there. You take a nickname and you make it yours.
Yeah. Lemons.
Lemons?
Lemons.
Lemon on a chain. Welcome to Danger Bros. As always, we're here discussing last week's nerd culture, hopefully going into this week's nerd culture, shifting up the process a little bit. We're going to add in some new segments, take out some old segments, and we're rocking the boat.
Segments.
Don't rock the boat, baby. Whoever said that, you're wrong. You're wrong, and I wish ill upon you.
Yes, I'm seasick.
Tony is seasick. He just got off the love boat.
Yep.
The love boat.
Hey, or whatever. What does Isaac say in the love boat?
I don't know.
Drinks on me.
You got it. Obscure 80s culture. Starting off with comic book movies, we're going to hop right into Marvel news.
Yeah.
They released, Jeremy Renner says he knows what side Hawkeye is in Captain America Civil War.
Yeah.
Take a guess.
Isn't he on Captain America's side?
He is on Captain America's side. When they ask why, he said, I don't know.
A very
indecisive.
They've already started filming too, right?
They did. We're gonna talk a lot about that. A lot of that. But yeah, he just said they wrote that I'm on his side, so I am.
That's exciting.
That's like the most indifferent, like, you know, character analysis of all time. the powers that be said it.
It kind of brings back that whole, like, you know, like what a twist kind of thing.
You
don't know what side you're on till you act out those parts. You don't even get to see the end script.
Very Hitchcock-ish. Yeah. You know that he doesn't make most of his money through acting, Jeremy Renner. You know,
doesn't he have like a business?
He's
or some
got
shit?
A fucking huge real estate business.
Oh, it's a real estate.
Like half of the stuff in California is.
Why
his.
Did I think it was wine?
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't, because if he's got all that real estate, he's probably like, I think I'll buy a vineyard. For some reason, he's slightly British in my imagination.
He's smart. He's from Northern California, where property values are always shooting up.
So is that right?
It makes sense for him to have some sort of real estate business.
So Hawkeye has a hawk eye for real estate.
Ooh, damn.
That was awful.
Funny.
That was the worst.
So funny.
That was the worst. Anyway, speaking of Captain America Civil War, Iron Man was shown wearing the Bleeding Edge armor, the Mark 46.
So what do you mean by this Bleeding Edge
armor? It's called the Bleeding Edge armor. Previously in the comics, he's had the Extremis armor.
Yes.
Which was essentially just, you know, come to me armor! And it was strong enough to fight the Sentry and Red Hulk.
Wait. I thought the Extremis armor was the one. Extremis armor is the one that appears from, like, nanobots.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
So, Bleeding Edge is powered by what they're calling essentially a man-made star instead of an arc reactor. It's square.
Okay.
That's what they're giving away. They're like, oh, it's square, so it must be the Bleeding Edge. And it essentially makes him the Green Lantern.
Oh, okay.
It's
like a charging port and shit.
No, not even that. It's just infinite power, and whatever he thinks, his suit does.
Okay.
I wish my hand was a giant boxing glove. It'll happen.
That'd be interesting.
And he's got cameras everywhere on the suit. Like, his palms have cameras so he can see behind him at all. He's Robo God.
Nice.
He's Iron God. So
to think we have that technology nowadays.
Yes, they made that technology for the movie, just so it would be accurate. Speaking of costumes in movies, this has been going all around the internet. Michael Shannon was late on set of Man of Steel because he couldn't open a door in the bathroom. Do you want to know why he couldn't open the door in the bathroom? No, he wasn't tied up.
Okay, please tell me why.
Apparently, according to him, he just like, I was wearing these flippers on my hand and I couldn't get
flippers.
The door. I'm doing the best flipper motion I have, but it doesn't
like
work in an audio. Well, yeah, because, you know, I've been saying it. The internet's been saying he's going to be Doomsday.
Yeah.
I don't remember Doomsday having flippers.
I don't either.
So I'm assuming he said flippers when he meant to say, like, giant-ass fingers.
Yeah.
Or, like, mittens.
Banana fingers
maybe,
or something.
Maybe he's cold and he has mittens on.
Yeah.
That they sewed onto him,
Maybe he's originally a dolphin that connects with Aquaman,
I was going to say, what if they splice him with Aquaman?
Yeah.
That's, like, his first mutation.
Yeah.
I'll watch that. I'll absolutely watch that. Opposite end of people that can't die in movies, apparently. The Wolverine. Did you see the last Wolverine?
Was it the one in Samurai Place?
Japan.
Nippon.
Did you see that?
Yes, I saw that one.
It was. I can't decide if I liked it or not.
It was better than the first one.
Everything's better than the first one.
Well, there you go.
Name a thing. Name a thing. Imperialism. Better than the first Wolverine. Poop. I would rather, like, if they're like, this is an art house feature, and it's literally just a camera on a piece of shit for an hour and a half. Or you can watch the Wolverine Origins, but you don't get to see the Deadpool stuff or the World War II, like, fighting montage. You'd be like, I'll take the poop.
Yeah,
I'll take I will take that poop.
Because I've never seen the poop before.
You just sold me on the poop. You sold me on the poop.
It might be better. We don't actually know.
Anyway, the third Wolverine installment, Liev Schreiber's coming back as Sabretooth. And you know what I was thinking? Because in the last one, he was always wearing black.
Yeah.
For some reason, like, everybody else was in camo, and he was just like, oh, whatever, I'll wear a t-shirt.
He's a dark man.
That's not what Sabretooth is. He's tan and furry.
Yeah,
and
shit. I know.
I would love to see Sabretooth in, like, Desert Ops kind of shit.
That'd be cool.
But
furry and tan?
Well, they put, like, camouflage on and shit, looks like, you know, they don't have to do the exact things, but, like,
Just how much story has been released about this Wolverine 3?
From what I hear, it stars Hugh Jackman.
Patrick Stewart's in it too.
And Patrick Stewart, we did say that, which I'm on board with.
Yeah.
How do you get three people that I really like and put them in a movie that I have no desire to see? I don't know.
You make two previously bad movies. You set the bar low.
Oh, God. The first one was so bad. I can't, like, the Wolverine. What's it just called? The Wolverine, the one in Japan?
I think it was Wolverine Origins, is what it was called. No. The second one was.
Just the Wolverine.
Maybe it's the Wolverine.
The Wolverine? Yeah. The Wolverine?
Or some stupid name that we don't care. Maybe, no, it was the Silver Samurai. No, it wasn't the Silver Samurai.
No, they didn't bring the Silver Samurai up in the
they didn't.
Colon.
The
anyway. Suicide Squad news. This is, pitch has been all over the internet. A few cast members and the director have decided to get Squad tattooed on them.
Squad!
Margot Robbie, who plays Harley Quinn, tattooed. I want to say the director. Will Smith.
Yeah, it's called The Wolverine.
The Wolverine, okay. Will Smith tattooed one of the fellow actors. Here's what's bugging me about that. First off, spelt squad wrong. It's S-Q-U-A-D.
Holy shit.
And they spelled it S-K-W-A-D. So it's probably intentional.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's I don't think they... And a lot of them have tattoos. So.
S-K-W-A-D.
S-K-W-A-D. You're such a skay-wad.
A
squad. you gotta have faith in your project. Like, you gotta be like, this is gonna be the best thing ever. To be
it
like, yeah, I'll
good.
Get a tattoo.
The Suicide Squad movie looks fun. The tattoo doesn't look fun.
I'm holding off.
I think it looks fun. Only because I've read the most recent New 52 stuff of... Not the most recent one. 2 years ago, Suicide Squad, which was really good. And... If it's anything close to that, then...
Oh, no. I love Suicide Squad. Yeah. The cartoon that they just did, that was great.
Yeah, but I mean, so, I don't know.
I'm holding off on getting my hopes up. Last time I got my hopes up, they were dashed devastatingly, and I almost gave up on movies in general. And I think that was Wolverine Origins.
Yeah, when did Wolverine Origins come out? Like, 2008?
Probably.
That was a shitty year, anyway.
That was
like one of those years where the writer's strike, I think, was still happening, and... You know, we knew movies were going to be bad, but we didn't want to admit it. That's right. That's my excuse.
That was the writer's strike, wasn't it?
I didn't even think
about that.
You think about that, like, a lot of bad movies are out during that time that should have been good.
Can we give them a break? Can we just be like, you know, that gray period, we'll just pretend no?
Okay. No, because they sewed Deadpool's mouth shut, and that's stupid.
That was the worst thing that's ever happened before in the history of forever. I'm glad that he actually made fun of it. He's from the studio that sewed my mouth shut in the first fucking movie.
Yeah.
So, good for Ryan Reynolds. We can't suck Ryan Reynolds' dick enough on this podcast. He's
great. He's got a nice penis.
Speaking of casting news, Nathan Fillion desperately wants to play Booster Gold.
Yeah, oh, that's cool.
Are you familiar with Booster Gold?
I am.
I love Nathan Fillion.
Yes.
I love Booster Gold.
Yes.
I'm a huge Booster Gold fan. Don't think it's a good fit.
No?
I don't.
I think it's okay.
I can see him just being Captain Hammer.
Okay.
From, what was it, Dr. Horrible, Sing-Along Glove?
Yeah,
and I like that. I like him being a pompous, full-of-himself prick of a superhero. But at the same time, Booster Gold is, young. Like, he just got out of high school in the comics.
I mean, yeah.
And he is a very much...
He's not Booster Gold later on in life when he's sick and stuff.
An older Booster Gold.
Yeah.
That just, like, already had... Because he comes back in time to be famous so he can support his sister and stuff like that. So just, like, Silver Age... Booster Gold.
Yeah,
Booster
man.
Silver, who's just sitting like a mansion. He's like, I made all of these millions, and now I have nothing to do with my powers.
I mean,
come Blue Beetle. We're not gay.
We're not gay. I swear.
I do love that. Was just because that's like the best bromance in the world.
It is.
If your bromance is strong enough that you have to continuously tell people you're not gay, that's a friend for life right there.
That's a great series. It's like Cable and Deadpool, but better.
Non-comic movie news, but transitioning from comic book movie news
to non-comic movie.
Doctor Doom himself, Toby Kebbell, and I say Doctor Doom himself because he played Doctor Doom for like a good 10 minutes in this past Fantastic
Crappy
Four.
Crappy Doctor Doom.
And I know that it's kind of a weekly thing that we take a shit on Fantastic Four, and I'm trying to move away from it. But,
one day we'll forget.
But he was actually just like a really good guy. Like the entire movie, he's just like, I don't want to help you find this new dimension because the government's going to use us as weapons. And sure as shit, the government, like everything he said came true. And so he's actually
Doctor Doom.
He's not a bad guy in the movie.
I guess you could say that in a sense they got that part of Doctor Doom right, where Doctor Doom is always right.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
But nobody listens to
nobody
Doom.
Nobody listens to Doom because he's a fucking asshole.
And in the Ultimate Universe, he has goat legs.
Yes.
For some reason. I don't know who the writer was, but whoever was just like, let's make Doctor Doom have goat legs.
Yeah.
God bless you for going for it.
The Ultimate Universe.
Anyway, Toby Kebbell is his name. He's going to join the cast of Kong Skull Island.
Ooh.
In other news, apparently they're making another King Kong.
It's been what, like 10 years now?
And King Kong and its porno actually just were entirely too long.
God.
Both of them.
Yeah.
That's an old recycled joke. No, but Skull Island apparently just gonna be like a bunch of young, plucky adventurers.
Nice.
Going on an island that happens to have a giant monkey on it.
I will probably watch it. Because of giant monkey.
You know, I think it's the same guy who did the treatment for Jurassic World.
What, you mean the, like, animator?
No, who, like, wrote Jurassic
World. The writer.
Who, like,
took the script
and was just like, you know, this will work better.
Okay.
So it'll be a good popcorn
movie.
Well,
there's going to be dinosaurs in it. We know Skull Island has
dinosaurs.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it makes sense that the Jurassic World guy is writing this movie.
I'm okay. Did you see the last... You saw...
the original Kong, the Peter Jackson Kong.
Was it just Kong, did they call it?
It was King Kong.
Those dinosaurs did not look great.
I mean,
it was 2008, mind you. 2007, I think.
They looked like a cross of the old King Kong dinosaurs,
yes,
and like new dinosaurs. So they were like, I feel like I gave it a pass because
we didn't come here to see the dinosaurs. We came here to see a giant monkey.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna keep calling them monkeys and not apes, so quit bombarding us with hate mail.
Yes.
I refuse to say apes because it sounds weird. It doesn't flow as well as monkey.
It doesn't.
That's not a joke. That's a fact.
You damn dirty apes.
Another reboot. They're remaking He-Man. To which so soon? Why so soon? Hopefully they're going to bring back Dolph Lundgren. I doubt it.
Does the world need another He-Man?
Does it? Because remember the old one? It was
barely.
They brought him to New York for some reason.
Well, it was like, Dolph Lundgren at least.
Yeah, who legitimately could be He-Man. Who would you cast in this one? Mind you, okay, here, let me cut you off, because it's the same director, or maybe writer, as Thor 2.
Oh.
So I just say, screw it. Just get Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, just
let him shave.
Well, yeah, he just has to cut his hair down to a bob.
Yeah.
And then we're good. That's what I want to know is, are they keeping the bob?
They better keep the bob.
Because I want the bob.
That would be a great thing, is if like they go to, what is it, Eternia?
Yeah. I don't know.
I want to say Eternia. Like, somehow there's a portal to Eternia, and like he's just there with this heinous, just like bowl cut bob. And like this, like one of the characters there has like a shaved head, and he goes, why is your hair like this? Do people not wear their hair like this? I was told this was the style. And it's just so obvious that he's Prince Adam the entire time. Like,
it'd be great.
He takes off his shirt. I'm He-Man. I was like, oh my god, He-Man's here. Where'd he come from? And like someone's just like, he was here the whole... It's the same guy. He's not wearing a... There's no mask. He just took his shirt off.
I'm just imagining a He-Man in real life again, just being all sexy with the...
What if they make it like a rom-com? What if they make it like, what was it, Enchanted?
Oh.
Where he comes to like... He comes to this world.
Yeah,
and
he's like solving shit and stuff. He becomes a spec op, you know, guy in Afghanistan or whatever.
Not even that. I'm going fish out of water.
Oh, you're just going... You're just
like, sir, you can't bring your sword on a plane. By the power of... Yeah, we got it. You're going to have to check it. You're going to have to check it, sir, and your cat that is somehow cowardly. It was like a battle cat. It was like a tiger normally, right?
Yeah.
He was a scaredy cat, no pun intended, the entire time.
The pussy.
I went there.
As you set it up,
you crossed
really
that line.
I wanted to do it.
You knocked it down because I set it up.
Yeah, it was very easy.
Star Trek, speaking of, you know, other dimensional things, Star Trek has just cast Lydia Wilson, who is an actress, apparently.
Ah.
That's all the details they're giving us.
Mrs. Wilson, huh?
Mrs. Wilson, yeah. It's going to be called Star Trek Beyond.
Ooh, I'm excited.
I'm hoping for, because you know me, I'm an old school Star Trek nerd.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for just really obscure villains.
Do you remember Star Trek 3, the original Star Trek movie 3?
Search for Spock.
It's a Search for Spock, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, hear me on this.
Okay.
The Wrath of Khan was Star Trek movie 2,
mm-hmm.
original one, and then this new one was the second movie. So what if this third one, Beyond, is sort of like a Search for Someone movie?
I'm okay with that.
Not Spock, but like, you know, someone else. So, like, is this an alternate universe?
How about Search for like a random red shirt that's
died? Yeah, Search for a random red shirt.
Just, we have to go get Skippy. Who's Skippy? Remember that guy that fell into the, like, fell off the blast furnace in the first movie? Apparently he put out a distress beacon, and we've just been ignoring him for a few years.
I just can't wait for the fourth one, because then they go to San Francisco to save the whales! Or sharks, or whatever. I don't know what the alternate universe
is. I like that. No, it's whales. I like that movie way too much.
Well, I mean, the original one was whales, yeah. That was my favorite one.
Because Tony's from San Francisco.
Yeah.
It's bad.
It is bad.
It's bad.
I mean, it's not terrible.
Transparent aluminum. How do we know he didn't invent it himself?
Yeah.
There's the worst Scottish accent
I've ever. I love how he, like, hacks into that computer, that 90s computer. It's just like, yeah, I'm going to create it right now. I'm like, okay, sure.
Good thing I studied antique computers, Captain. That was a little better. It's hard to think and do accents at the same time. You wanted to talk about this. I know nothing about it. Ashby.
Okay, yeah. This movie is an interesting movie that's like a sort of comedy drama thing that has to do with, it has Mickey Rourke, some kid I don't know who's the main person.
Okay, off to a good start.
Yes, Julia Roberts' niece, I forgot her name, Emma Roberts.
Okay.
That's the one.
And, I like her, actually. Yeah. I didn't know they were related. That makes sense now.
And Sarah Silverman is in it, too, as a mom.
I like her regardless what she does, so okay.
It's all about this kid is like a dorky guy, and he makes friends with this old dude who's Mickey Rourke, and Mickey Rourke is an ex-CIA operative. Now,
because
why not? And now, if you watch the movie, it kind of gives away some stuff that's like the, I hope, what I'm hoping is the obvious stuff, you know, oh, kid learns how to become a better man and gets the girl and all that shit, but like, They allude to like other things, like CIA type things that seem pretty cool. So like,
is it a comedy? Is it supposed to be a comedy? It's gonna be like, I didn't do my homework, and Mickey Rourke like punches the teacher in the face. It's like, class dismissed.
Oh, it's not that bad. It's not 80s comedy. It's more like
it's not Vin Diesel the pacifier.
It's more like more like early 2000s comedy. Is what I want to say.
Okay, but,
you know, I don't know. It looked enjoyable.
Fair enough.
Do you remember? Maybe wish I made friends with someone who was a CIA operative when I was young.
If only, because they're so plentiful. They're so plentiful.
They're
if only that we had just reached out to an ex-CIA operative.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Our lives would have been different. Do you remember last week we talked about Zorro? Post-apocalyptic Zorro.
Yeah, my long shot of the week.
That was your long shot.
Yeah.
And it keeps getting more mediocre. It's... Apparently it has nothing to do with the Zorro of old.
Sounds about right.
I was hoping that maybe he would find a mask and a sword. Apparently it's just like it's post-apocalyptic. And, you know, in a world where the world needs a hero. And this guy like reads a book about Zorro. And he's like, I can do that. Why not? That's how he did it.
I'll be Zorro.
Exactly. And so he makes a mask.
Where do they even come up with the name then? Like, it has to be some sort of legend type thing.
Maybe
right?
He found a book.
Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, you know, this book talking about some guy named Zorro seems pretty good. I guess I'll be Zorro.
Yeah, like his dad passed it down. And it's like, read this. He's like, was my dad Zorro? And his wife's just like, no, he just liked really weird books. He liked books about Mexicans wearing masks. That was his jam. That was his jam.
But if somehow Antonio Banderas is in this movie, that would be really cool.
Just a cameo.
Yeah.
Just as like a shop merchant who's just like, oh, thank you for saving me. What's your name? And he turns around. They keep saying it's going to be a katana. I know it. I don't want it to be a katana. I have my issues with the sword in general. I won't go into it.
But katana is a future weapon. Like that's
They're
future
hard
sword
as
weapon.
Balls to make.
Yeah, but that's the future sword weapon. Like that's if people were going to make a future weapon that's a sword and still be a sword, katana's like 9 times out of 10 the choice.
You know what I would have liked? If he got like a piece of rebar, and, like ripped it from concrete and then like duct taped a handle to it and just started using that as a stick and, like, occasionally just kept grinding it down on asphalt so it has, like, an edge.
It just
boom. There, ooh, you're welcome.
The rusty sword.
You're welcome. Exactly. Zorro the Rusty Blade. I think that was actually the porno version of it, to be honest with you.
Nice.
But no, I think that sounds cooler than a katana. But what do I know? I'm just...
That's probably... The fact that it might be a katana is really the closest thing to a saving grace I can get out of this movie. Other than that, I'm going to wait till more information pops up.
Future films. You showed me this one. It was called Turbo Rider.
Oh, yeah.
I dig it. From what I could get... I'm sure you know about it. From what I can gather is dystopian future.
Want to say.
That may or may not be his imagination.
Yeah, that too.
And he puts on, you know, he goes to this other side of the block and it's all Mad Max saw blades flying everywhere and he has to become the Turbo Rider. He has a Nintendo Power Glove.
Yeah, that's great. It looks amazing. It reminds me of, I can't remember the movie, the one with the mutant cleaner guy.
Toxic Avenger.
Toxic Avenger.
Okay.
It reminds me of, like, a mixture of Toxic Avenger and, like, Mad Max or something, you know? Like, just this weird over-the-top violence.
Did you ever see Kung Fury?
No, not yet. I haven't yet.
Kung Fury is unabashed, just, like, we're making a joke about, like, 80s kung fu movies. Like, you know,
his
partner
see that
is a Triceratops. They fight Hitler. They hack him back in time.
Oh, that's
to
great.
To go fight Hitler. Like, unabashed, completely, like, they know what they are. I feel like this movie's like that, but they don't realize that. Like, they're trying to make it dumb, but they're not willing to make... They're not willing to commit to the full
commit
idiocracy.
To the dumbness?
Yeah.
We'll see. It looks fun, just because there's a lot of things getting blown up and people getting cut.
There is somebody who gets their head exploded in the trailer.
Yes, there is. That was great. So, we'll see.
I mean what's a self-aware flick? I mean, speaking of self-aware flicks, Final Girl. The Final Girls.
Yes, I showed you this one.
You
it
did,
was great.
I like it. This one I like a lot more. It's about this girl's mom just died. You know, sounds like a... Great comedy, no. And so her friends take her to see a movie on the anniversary of her mom's death because her mom's in it. And a fire busts out in the theater, and they rip open the screen, and somehow they get transported into the movie.
Yeah.
Like a stereotypical, like Jason Voorhees, Friday the 13th summer camp, and like they're trying to explain the rules, like don't have sex and you won't die, and they have all the archetypes, slutty girl, nerdy guy, and stuff like that. That looks fun.
It does look fun. It's like Scream if Scream were like a comedy and had magical elements to it where they're in a movie.
It's like Scary Movie if it was done with, you know,
taste. Yeah. There you go. It's
taste
like those
and no
movies.
Fart jokes, as far as I know.
We'll
see if
it's good. It's got Chris Middleditch or whatever his name is, the guy from Silicon Valley in it. He's one of the main characters.
They got one of the guys from
Workaholics.
Workaholics.
Yeah, that guy's
thank
in it
you.
Too.
Adam
something. Adam Levine. Devine? I think it's Devine.
I met
Adam
him
Devine.
Once. He was very...
Devine. Adam
Devine. Super nice guy.
Yeah. The girl from Arrested Development's in there, too. She's like, I think, a side player.
What's Malin... I want to say Ackerman?
Oh, Malin... Yeah, she plays the mom.
She plays the mom.
She plays the mom,
and
yeah.
She's got comedy chops.
She does.
Not a lot of people talk about.
She's always
about.
Had some good comedy chops.
But I do like how it's like sort of like, you know, pseudo... It's a movie within a movie.
Yeah.
Possibly within a movie as far as we know.
Movieception.
Speaking of Movieception... You showed me this. Some guy took all the Star Wars.
Oh, yes.
And put them on top of each other using magic, presumably.
Yes.
And
movie magic.
Movie magic. And played them all at once.
Yeah, it was great.
It's great. It's terrifying. It's mind-bending. It's
the like
closest you can get to drugs without drugs.
It really is. It reminds me of some sort of Stanley Kubrick film or something. Like, I'm just like...
Every single Stanley Kubrick like hallucination you've seen,
that's
he went in the future, saw this, and that's where he drew his inspiration from.
It's the whole movie. It's hilarious and awesome at the same time. I highly recommend looking up, I think it's, what is the title? Like, all six Star Wars movies at once or something
at once.
Like that.
Yeah,
you just Google that and you'll find it.
It's a rip roaring good time.
Yeah. Rip roaring.
Rip roaring.
Rip torrent.
Rip torrent. Don't rip torrents. speaking of Star Wars, they're doing. We talked about the Star Wars land, right?
Yes, we did.
They're going to do two.
Yes.
And as we predicted, they're going to have the Cantina Band.
Yes.
And which, you know me, I'm just going to stand by them the entire time and just let my troubles go away with the music.
That will be the place to chill.
And they're saying that everyone's going to be in character. I would love to see how
that's
that
gonna
goes.
That's going to be fun. Because
you've seen the Disney Gaston, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he's
great. I love the videos of the Disney Gaston.
And so if they're going to do that the entire time, you know there's going to be a bunch of nerds, myself included, just being like, oh, yeah, is that Boba Fett? What's your blaster number? And the actors, like, they're going to make them memorize everything. They're going to be like, I think it's like an EE-13 carbine rifle.
I don't know.
And but you
those,
know
those actors will be dedicated to their work.
Yeah,
which, basically. Hopefully, which, they get paid big money, bigger money than what usually actor those types of actors, character actors, get paid. Like, the ones that are in the suits don't get paid too much.
I know a girl who plays Snow White in Magic Kingdom. She loves it, but she's just like, it is not easy.
Yeah.
You have to think on your toes.
Oh, yeah. No, no. I had a friend who played a lot of the smaller characters, like Minnie Mouse and
I knew Minnie
and,
Mouse,
and stuff like that. She does not get paid that much.
No?
She could pay, like, $11 starting out.
I mean, how... Like, I just want to be, like, go there and have someone be like, I'll have a Sprite. And he'll be like, Gleek Glorp. What is this Sprite you talk of? Maybe you want Tatooine lemon juice.
Brought to you by Sprite.
Brought to you by Sprite. Yes, Dr. Pepper. We don't have doctors here. I'm on board with it. You know, they already have my money. If I could just, like, shove money in somebody's face to get tickets, I'd do it right now.
I may buy a year-long pass or whatever, like, if it turns out to be really good, you know?
See, oh, that's the tricky part, though, because what if you get the year-long pass and it's awful?
Well, that's what I mean. I'm going to wait till it comes out.
And then you're going to see it. Off of that, be like, you know what? This is worth it. I want to come back here numerous times throughout the year.
Exactly.
Scout's Guide to the... is it the Zombie Apocalypse?
Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse, yes.
Not much to say about this one. The trailer, it reeks of Zombieland.
Yeah, it does. It reminds me of Zombieland. But it's with Scouts.
But it's... I like it. I'm probably going to see it. The trailer looks good. But it just reminded me of, like, you know, somebody who saw Zombieland and thought, wouldn't it be funny if it was Zombieland, but with Boy Scouts? Because the Zombie Survival Guide is kind of like Boy Scout Survival Guide.
Yeah.
Like,
it looks better than a bad zombie movie.
This is true.
That's how I...
The trailer had zombie boobs in it. We don't see much of that.
Zombie boobs was nice.
A kid took a selfie with the zombie.
This is fucking selfie.
There's another movie coming out where they're like, take a selfie.
The Final Girls. It was the Final Girls. The guy's like, let me get a selfie with
the killer real quick. Is that the joke now?
I guess so.
I feel like that joke was very last year.
Be stupid and take a selfie. Well, that song was last year.
What song?
But first, let me take a selfie. And it's like a techno song.
Never heard it.
No.
Never heard of it.
You don't want to. Actually, you do. I'm just kidding. You should watch it.
I just got a selfie stick, and I'm a little embarrassed to use it.
What's wrong with you?
It was a gift. How dare you? It was a gift from my mother.
Okay, as long as it's a gift.
Okay. I kind of want to try it, but I can't. Like, I feel like I need to get a holster for it.
Dude.
Like a Han Solo.
Oh, you should. That
holster,
would be so cool.
Or like a Luke Skywalker. Yeah. And just treat it like it's a lightsaber.
I went to Hollywood recently, the Kodak Theater, El Capitan area.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell you, like, there was a ton of people. Just with selfie sticks.
Yeah.
Like, taking pictures. I was with a friend of mine, and we were talking about it the whole time, and we were just quietly ragging on people with selfie sticks.
This isn't a new invention.
No, it's not.
No, it's been around since, like, the 80s. The Japanese have had this since the 80s, and I was full against it. Like, I was on the, like, full-on, like, this just proves humanity's narcissism. I went home, and I used it, and it dawned on me, this is just so you don't get your phone stolen by asking somebody to take a picture.
That and you can get a better picture.
Sure.
Because you're further away.
You see how it's going.
Yeah.
So I'm on board. I'm gonna cull my shame, and I'm gonna use the selfie stick.
It's all right. As long as I get to be in some of them.
We're setting up our Facebook page right now, so we'll set an unofficial image of us in the studio using the selfie stick.
Selfie stick!
Selfie stick! So what were we talking
about? Zombie survival guy.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Like I said, still reeks of Zombieland, which is funny because, what's his face, Jesse Eisenberg, who, by the way, gets really pissed off if you mention that he's similar to Michael Cera.
Really?
He was doing something, I want to say for Batman v Superman, and they were just...
He's not. I don't even consider him similar to Michael Cera. I guess maybe in his voice.
They both did awkward style humor.
That's true, I suppose. Yeah, but Michael Cera's like weird, creepy, awkward style humor.
Somebody asked him, like, "Oh, so what was it like working on Arrested Development?" He's like, "Oh, haha, because I kind of look like Michael Cera. That's funny. Go on." And then she's like, "Can you show me a magic trick?" He goes, "I could have, but then you decided to be a rude interviewer, so no."
Oh,
yeah, no. I mean,
he went
off on her.
That's awesome.
He was in American Ultra. Did you see it?
Not yet, but I probably will. I mean, I probably will when it comes out in video and, you know.
He's a drug user. A stoner, if you will.
A stoner.
Who is a secret agent. Oh. He doesn't know.
Also known as a sleeper agent.
Also known as a sleeper agent. Which is funny because stoners sleep a lot. I'm grasping at straws with this. No, I didn't see it. It's got Vampire Girl in it, Kristen Stewart.
Yep.
So.
She cute.
That should be okay. Should be all right.
I've seen reviews on it, and it's about I think it was like 50% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Tight.
So very, very passable.
We should start a new segment. Just I wouldn't pay to see it.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. That's a good idea.
There we go. Just today's movie news. I wouldn't pay to see it. Yeah, exactly. Speaking of movies, I would not pay to see, and I don't think I'll watch in general, because we've been talking about it for about 3.5 weeks now.
We didn't need to know that.
I've been saying for a good 3.5 friggin' weeks, I don't think it'll be good. I have, nothing makes me want to go see this movie, and it's out, and it has like a 7% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Pretty terrible.
Hitman Agent 47.
Yep. That's it. It's 7% on Rotten Tomatoes is enough. That's like...
That's
all you need to know.
Here's the thing about Hitman movies. You don't have to try that hard. Just, I'm sure that every casting agency or every single, like, you know, writer's agency just has scripts, like, pushing their windows. Like, it's a spy thriller. Be like, great. Choose one that's good. Shave his head.
Yeah.
Done. How do you mess that up that bad?
Well, I think the problem is that they keep trying to make a movie that's based off a character that... like, never really had any personality in the video
games.
Does he
even talk?
Yeah, he talks a little bit. I mean, okay. He has to act, right? But he's always this, like, serious guy. And like, they're trying to add this, like, understory to it. And the story is terrible.
Take the A-Team movie.
Yeah.
Take out three of the characters. Have Bradley Cooper shave his head. Boom. I'll watch that.
They'll do crazy shit.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
It's a video game movie. They're like, and everybody rags on A-Team. I love that movie. They're flying a tank.
I have not seen the whole of the A-Team movie, but I've only heard good stuff about it.
It's great. I think it's just a great popcorn movie.
And then from what I've seen, like, it's been good.
It's ridiculous, but that would work in a video game movie.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah. You can fly a tank in a video game. I've seen it. I've done it. I play GTA Vice City.
Vice City.
I love that game. That's still my favorite GTA game.
That was a good, really good game, actually.
TV news. Alfie Woodard is cast as Mineta in the Luke Cage series on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
So let me break this down brick by brick.
Yeah, please do.
Alfrey. I don't know if it's Alfrey or Alfrey, and I really don't want to get that wrong.
Pretty sure it's Alfie.
Her name's Mineta, and I looked into it. That character doesn't exist in the comics.
Okay.
But they're kind of hinting, alluding to that she might be this character called Black Maria.
Oh!
And Woodard is an African-American actress, so maybe that's why they're leaning towards it. Black Maria is just a super clever, heavy-set black woman who, like, buys ambulances.
Oh.
And when rich people die, they just pick the body up, rob it, then take the keys and go rob the house later.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, it's a cool character. I wouldn't have thought of that. So rock on.
That's a lot of work to do. But you know what? Hey.
That's a lot of work to get a watch.
Yeah.
Like a Rolex.
Right? Well, I mean, they go back and rob the
house.
They
do go back and rob the house. I saw Ant-Man. That's how. That's actually essentially.
Don't I haven't seen Ant-Man yet. Okay. I'm terrible.
How?
I don't even know
if it's in theaters anymore.
It probably still is, but don't get away yet. Give me another week.
And then
you can spoil it.
We'll just cut to next week where Tony's just going to be like, didn't see it. I'll see it next week. The next week, spoil it in theaters.
Just spoil it at that point.
Next week. If you haven't seen it by next week, we're going to do an in-depth. We're not even going to broadcast it. I'm just going to, like, record Tony's facial expressions, put it on our Facebook page, Danger Bros Pod on Facebook, and just have a silent, like, opera music playing in the background, seeing how sad he gets that he didn't get to witness Ant-Man in the theater.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch it.
Did you know that they're making a new Evil Dead? Ash and the Evil Dead TV series.
I literally just heard about it.
They're bringing back Bruce.
Ooh.
Did you see the Evil Dead remake?
No.
It's good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's... I mean, here's the thing. Did you ever see the original Evil Dead?
Yes.
Not the best movie.
No.
No. I love Sam Raimi. I love Army of Darkness like it's an unborn child.
Yes.
This new Evil Dead was better.
Okay.
I dug it a lot. But
this is... Okay, wait. Sorry to interrupt you, but is this Evil Dead or is this Evil Dead versus Ash?
No, this is Ash. The new TV series is called Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Okay, okay.
It's Ash with Bruce Campbell, bringing him back.
Yep.
Who won most popular in my freshman year in high school, even though he did not attend there, and he was like 43 years old.
He doesn't even have to.
No, we all thought it best if we voted him most popular.
That's awesome. Your school's great.
It was. I don't think it went through, but it clearly got the votes. I think we tallied them ourselves. He's got two young compatriots.
Okay.
Who he's gonna show them the ways of chainsawing,
and boomsticking.
And boomsticking. Yeah.
All right. Is it live action?
It is live action. Okay. It's 100% live action. And here's the thing: you say that with any other character, just like, there's gonna be this old dude with a chainsaw for a hand and a shotgun, and he's got these two like teenagers that he's gonna help survive. I'd be like, oh, that sounds dumb. Enter Bruce Campbell. That's who I want to see. I want to see Bruce Campbell and Nathan Fillion, Booster Gold, and the Blue Beetle.
Yes. All in one movie?
All of that. Watching all of it.
Did you ever watch Burn Notice?
I watched a little bit of it.
You know Bruce Campbell's in there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I watched it.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I was going to say. That made the show pretty good, honestly. Bruce Campbell was great in that.
I had a buddy who was an extra who was just like, I don't know the main guy's name or the girl's name, but he's like, yeah, they were dicks. And she was a bitch, except he used a worse name for her. Yeah. It starts with the C. Ooh, speaking of that particular word, did you see the unintentionally vulgar Mockingjay?
No, but you told me about this.
So somebody put, you know, Hunger Games in big letters and like Mockingjay cutting off in the middle of the Hunger part, and Jennifer Lawrence's face behind it, and it kind of looks like a word that starts with the C and ends with the T.
See you next Tuesday.
Yes. Then we'll see you next Tuesday. So somebody done got fired for that one. It wasn't even a good logo. It had to have been done intentionally. But, you know, it's still going to make a bajillion dollars, so...
You'd think that, like, it would get caught, because, like, there's at least one person that looks at this at work before it goes out. Like, one other person.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe they just were rushed.
Maybe they don't like Jennifer Lawrence.
Or maybe they don't like Jennifer Lawrence.
Maybe, like my friend, they just had a bad experience with an actress, and they're like, you know what? I'm labeling you.
Yeah.
But he did say that Bruce Campbell was nice as hell. I believe, because he's Bruce Campbell. And Bruce if he's Campbell, not nice, then I'll cry. You know, we haven't talked about this in the past 2-3 weeks, and every single time we go off air, I always kick myself because I always want to watch it. Rick and Morty's back. It's been back.
Oh, yeah.
And we're late on this, and I feel bad because I've been watching the episode.
I have too. It's almost like I just want to be a part of it, and like I don't even think to like talk about it because I just want to be in the episodes, you know? I just want to be there.
It really is all-encompassing. Enjoying it. Did you get Swifty last night?
Oh, I got... Let's get Swifty.
Get Swifty. Shit on the floor.
Took my pants off. Yeah, man. Mr. Bulldog, dude. He's awesome.
Mr. Bulldog. I maintained the entire time. I was waiting for it just to be like, Rick built the giant heads so he could get a number one single.
Yeah.
They looked like him, so I don't think I was out of the way to...
Yeah, it was like, well, okay, so then I was reading reviews on this show in particular, this episode in particular, and so, like, you know, like, Rick and Morty has this whole thing where they travel dimensions and stuff.
Yeah.
Well...
They're not even in their original dimension.
Yeah. And so a lot of it is, like, them finding trouble.
Yeah.
While this episode, people were talking about it, was trouble found them.
This is true.
So, it was a little bit different. And people were talking about how this is the most Adult Swimmy type episode out of any of the Rick and Morty episodes.
I buy it.
Which is okay to me because I like Adult Swim type humor, like Aqua Teen Hunger Force and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, they're gone now.
Yeah.
I didn't see the last episode.
I didn't either.
Or most of the other episodes.
I didn't either. There's just too many now.
It didn't appeal to me, I'll be honest with you.
But like, it's weird, but it's also like, it's also not weird at the same time.
It's weird enough.
It's just weird enough. So... Getting Swifty was like, you know, it was cool. It was just like a Rick and Morty episode.
And it also explains why Ice-T is still relevant.
Oh, yes. That was probably the most Adult Swimmy part.
I'm not going to explain that joke because you have to go watch Rick and Morty. bar none. That's it. End of discussion. You know what I finished last night, though? Wet Hot American Summer, first day of year.
Oh, yeah.
I've been a fan of Wet Hot American Summer. It was one of those very first quintessential, like, we're spoofing this entire genre.
Yep.
But... did it successfully.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, no, it was very straight-laced, like very... What am I trying to say? it was very earnest. It was a very earnest take on the genre. And this takes place like the day before all that happened.
No. It took place the first day of camp.
Yeah.
The movie took place the last day of camp. Mm. That was the big thing.
Correct. Okay. And I loved it. They brought back a lot of people. They... brought people into this that weren't in the first one, which I'm entirely okay with it. And anytime I get to hear H. John Benjamin, even if he's a can of vegetables, that's a win-win for me.
No I like how they just explain everything. And how, like, all the new characters, they get explained away very nicely as well.
I like the H. John Benjamin thing, because in the movie, it was never really, like, it was just, you know, the camp cook is hallucinating and a can of soup starts talking to him.
Yeah.
And they went out, because, you know, maybe H. John Benjamin, because he's, you know, reached a certain modicum of fame.
Yeah.
But he, you know, they made him a pivotal player.
Yeah, no, they did. They gave it a real reason.
They didn't have to. You know, they could have just been like, are you talking to that can of vegetables again? Yeah. Yes. That's all they had to do, but no. They went for it, and it paid off,
yeah.
And I liked them for it.
It was an enjoyable series, little mini-series.
It was.
I wish they could do another, like, follow-up or, like, more of the camp, but I know that that's kind of like, you don't even need to do that.
They don't need to, but I'll watch it.
Oh, I would, too.
If they were like, what about American Summer 2015?
Yeah.
And, like, but just keep everything the same. Because they have one scene where they're referring, like, he's holding an iPhone. Like, what's that metal rectangle? He's like, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I would love to have them just all the old technology, all the old costumes with just, like, young new campers on their phones and shit.
That would be fun.
Maybe, actually, we'll make that a web series. I don't think that merits an entire series. I mean, they could
maybe
do
a Netflix thing.
They could do it.
Netflix always. You always count on Netflix.
They're a lot funnier than I am.
Yeah. Well, they're all movie stars and TV stars
this
now.
This is true. We actually have a lot of video game news this week.
We do have a pretty
Into the
darn
video
good
games.
Woo!
We actually.
Oh wait.
Well, we're gonna start this new segment called "What We Found on Our Way to Redbox," because I realized I really haven't been too keen on video games lately.
I haven't either.
I've just been out of the loop, if you will. Something like I would play that if it were like in front of me. If I went to a friend's house, I'd be like, yeah, sure, let's play this.
I've been watching video games more than I've been playing.
But that's sad, but I'm with you.
Yeah.
I do the same thing. Like, I just want to kind of get the general feel of it, and I want to kick that habit.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
Every week, we're going to try a new video game, if only for an hour. We're going to go to Redbox. We're going to go online. We're going to go to the PlayStation Marketplace. We're going to try something new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New video games.
This week, we played Polybridge. Polybridges?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That game is crazy, man.
It is a little too smart for me. Tiny bit.
If you don't know what Polybridge is, it's a game where you have to build a bridge to get a car across. But you can build them in really, really crazy ways. Like,
you could build a bridge.
Like, you
could
build
a bridge. Or you could do a loop-de-loop.
Yeah, loop-de-loop. Or you just got to get the car
ring
across.
Of fire.
You got to get the car across the canyon. And I've seen some crazy ones because I like to watch more than I like to play. I have seen some ones where it's just been an infinite spiral where the car goes around and around and around or makes some jumps or, like, barely makes it.
It reminds me of a game I used to play in high school where it was pretty much just, like, a stick figure on a sled and you created the course and you tried to make it do, like, but I have no idea what it was called. And I keep wanting to say...
Line Rider.
Tony just saved the pot. I was going to say Ski Free.
No. It's like Line Rider. I literally just played that, like, last week.
I missed that. It was a fun game. But we played it. It was not Line Rider. Polybridges. We played it. It was fun. Good distraction.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put too much stock in it.
If you're into the whole building things,
yeah,
to do fun, funny looking things,
yeah,
that's definitely a game to try out.
Like, if you're the kind of person who's just like, I want to play Mario to beat it, I wouldn't advise it. But if you're just like, I wonder what kind of fucked up thing I can build to make sure this car gets to the end in the most, you know, ridiculous way possible, I'd say go play it.
Yeah.
I'd play it again.
Yeah.
You know, if I was bored. GTA 5, opposite end of the spectrum, from just the simplest game to, like, the most convoluted web of stories packed into a compact disc,
yeah,
which is on the way out, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah, they stopped.
Oh, really?
They're going to stop making them soon.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Huh.
Anyway, they sold 55 million units.
Yeah.
I think that's a record.
GTA 5, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. But then, altogether, they've sold, what was it, 215 million units of GTA... No, I think it's Rockstar products.
Oh, okay. So that includes Red Dead Redemption.
Red Dead Redemption. And other GTAs.
The first two bad GTAs.
Those were not that bad. The over-the-top look. I enjoyed it.
Maybe it was because I played Vice City, and then I went to, like, GameStop, and I'm like, oh, GTA 1 and 2. Okay, I'll get the origin story.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah.
Well, what the fuck is this?
No, yeah.
What is this nonsense?
You had to do it the other way around like I did,
okay,
where I played GTA 1 and 2 and the London one, and they were all the top-down one.
Mm-hmm. Then when they went 3D.
When they went 3D, I'm like, holy shit, guys, this is going to be way better.
A little bit of poop in your pants?
Yeah, a little bit of poop.
A little bit of poop in your pants. Oh, here's the one you were excited about. Star Fox Zero.
Yeah.
Give me the deets on that, the original
title. Okay, so
like
Star Fox Zero, that's going to be the new name. It's an original title, so it's not it's not Star Fox 64 remake or something like that, like they've been doing for the DSs and stuff.
So it's like a continuation.
It's a real continuation. This game looks really good. It's from the studio that did Bayonetta, and I don't know if you ever played that game.
I played it once.
Okay, so you know what it's about. Like, you play this witch that, like, shoots guns things on her shoes, and her, like, her hair is her clothing for some reason, but she is also a weapon. And, and so, like, and it's like crazy action. So that's going to be cool. And there's also going to be a new. It's going to have all the vehicles from the original Star Fox stuff. So, like, the tank. The R-Wing, the other thing, Landmaster, yeah. But it's also going to have, like, a hovercraft that you can ride,
so
too.
Is it a continuation?
I think it's a continuation.
Okay, did you ever hear about, like, the Star Wars, I want to say Game Boy Advance game, where it was, like, the last in the series, and, like, there were 9 different endings, and a lot of them were depressing as hell?
No, but that sounds fun.
No, it's bad. Like, Star Fox kills himself.
Oh, Star Fox. Yeah. Oh, you said Star... It sounded like you said Star Wars.
Oh, no, I meant to say Star Fox, sorry. Yeah, no, there's 9 endings, like... In the good ending, you save the galaxy, but your girlfriend's been cheating on you.
Oh,
it runs off with Star Wolf's Panther.
You know what? That's just the way that they got it. That's
why
Star
do
Fox
they hate Star Fox,
life, man?
Why do they hate Star Fox? Go on.
I was going to say, so you've seen the box art, right?
That's what I was about to talk about.
So box art looks cool because they all look, you know, all graphically made.
They did individual fox hairs.
Yeah, yeah.
Because reasons. Because they could.
Fox's whiskers, though, man.
They look like a mustache. I have a big issue with just putting whiskers on anthropomorphic beings just because they always look like mustaches.
He's older now.
So give him a mustache.
Did
his dad have a mustache? They just put a block of hair under
maybe.
His fox nose?
Possibly.
Yeah.
But you got a mustache and whiskers. So
no,
it's like a double
now
mustache.
It just looks like a wispy prepubescent boy who just got, like, you know, his first dark hairs on his face, and he doesn't want to shave him off because he thinks he looks older.
Yeah, man, those are his whiskers.
No. It looks weird. It's creepy and it's weird. And take them off, Nintendo. Take them off. They already have metal legs. Keep the metal legs. Take away the whiskers.
So, speaking of, like, a good game that came out recently, and I haven't tried it yet myself.
Which one?
Is Metal Gear Solid 5. Now, are you familiar with Metal Gear Solid stuff?
No.
Okay.
I've never. My extent is watching somebody play it in a bedroom once.
Okay. I haven't played since the Metal Gear Solid, like, 2 or 3.
Okay.
Those are, like, it was, like, the Snake one. I don't know. But
one of those where things were solid in metal.
It's espionage, and there's a lot of movie-type elements in the cutscenes and stuff. Like, that's what the creator, I forgot his name, Kojima or whatever, he likes to make a movie out of the game as well.
He wants a movie that has occasional, you know, things you can play.
Exactly, yeah. So this latest one apparently is getting perfect scores on all reviews. I have not played it yet, but I've read amazing things about it, and almost all the popular websites that, like, report on or review stuff have given this game at least a 9 out of 10, with most of them giving 10 out of 10 or 100 out of 100, A+.
I did see that they added in just randomly, and I looked into it. It's not a plot point, but on a random level, there's a puppy that you can pet.
Oh.
You can just pet a puppy.
And, you know, whenever there's, like, cute animals in the game, like, I don't know, that just makes it even better.
That's my money's worth right there. You, like, give me a score 1 out of 10, never played it, but I don't see many video games with random puppies that have nothing to do with the plot.
Yeah.
So you can bet I'm in. count me in.
I'm down.
You know, I was thinking, this is totally off kilter, because there have been little snippets of people trying to make video game movies forever.
Yep.
Everyone's been trying to make a Metal Gear Solid movie for the longest time.
Of course.
I was listening to another podcast, The Weekly Planet. Great guys. They're in Australia or something. And they brought up how bad the Double Dragon movie was.
Uh-huh.
I won't go into it. It's just a bad
movie.
It's
so bad, I barely remember it.
And I actually played this in the arcade stand-up a little bit ago. There's a place called Barcade. And it's a very simple plot. Like, there's just the girl standing there. A gang member comes up, punches her in the stomach, and carries her away. And it just... This gang stole your girlfriend. Go rescue her.
Double Dragon, man. That was gangster.
Why is that not a Netflix movie? I'll watch that. Like, in a world where you have John Wick, where Keanu Reeves is just, oh, bro, I'm going to kill you because you killed my dog.
Yeah.
And that movie was great. Why not just, we got to go save my girlfriend? There seems like there's a lot of colorful characters in this town we never saw. Oh, well, let's punch him in the face. I'll watch it.
Yeah, I would even go as far as to say, like, I'd watch it if it had comedy elements to it.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be full action like John Wick was.
No, make it like the Mortal Kombat web series.
Yeah.
There was some humor in there.
Yeah, like, even just add some humor, it's fine, man.
We don't need magical fucking medallions in this one, though. That somehow make you... That was the thing. That was the movie. It's like, we're the double dragons, because our dad gave us these two medallions that we've never put together for some reason. Wow. Even though they obviously fit together. Magic!
Double dragons.
Speaking of magic... Tony is the official magic aficionado of this podcast.
Yeah.
He's one of the better players I've ever seen, partly because he's one of the only players I've ever seen.
That's right. One out of one, baby.
If I want to rank him, he's definitely in the top one and a half.
Wait, where's the half?
The internet. Oh, I don't count it as a full sentient being.
Damn right.
Yes.
Take that.
Yes.
Internet.
Yeah. Interwebs. Yes.
Yeah, wuss. All right, so some new magic stuff that I'm sure you know nothing about, but it's okay. There was the Eternal Weekend this past weekend, which was the big weekend for old Magic, where everybody played all of the sets, like all of the cards in the set were legal pretty much, except for banned cards, and people played like those old things like Black Lotus. Have you heard of Black Lotus?
I have no idea what you're talking
about. Okay, don't worry about that then. But anyways, they played cards like that, and now that sounds cool and all right. Oh yeah, 20 years of history in it. But the biggest kind of plus about this as well is that there was probably over $1 million in cardboard in that room.
Wait, oh, okay.
Like, in that room, because there was cards that were like $10,000. Like, one card was worth $10,000. And people were playing with those cards.
So you have to actually have... Can you just be like, have it in like carbonite and be like, I'm not taking it out.
Honestly,
I'm going to sell it later, but I'm using this card.
I feel like they should, but I'm not even really sure. Like, these are people that... A lot of them that went and played were people who have been playing the game since they were kids and had... Or like, since they were younger and had these cards
already.
So
these are bare cards. They're foxing the edges. And
Well, no, they're not bare cards anymore. They're definitely sleeved up, double sleeved.
Don't they have to shuffle them or something?
Yeah, if you sleeve them up, you can still shuffle them.
I don't know.
But on the slightly cheaper side, there was another big-ass tournament going on in the East Coast. It's for a format called Modern. And what Modern is, it's not the oldest Magic history stuff, but it's like maybe half of Magic's history. And it's still pretty damn expensive. Like, to get into it, it costs you about $500 to get a good deck to play. But some of the best decks that have won have been the cheaper decks, and but then in this case, sadly, one of the deck that definitely did win is worth about $1,500, maybe a little bit more. And so, like, all these cards though are just really, really powerful cards that like have checks and balances within the game.
So it actually doesn't sound fair to me at all. So if you have the money to buy a really powerful card, you'll probably win.
Yes, but.
This is
not a format for you anyway. This is a format for people who want, because the other part of it is that it takes a lot of skill in this format, because yes, spending the money to get the powerful cards gets you to win, but there's so many cards that make it diverse. It's not everyone's buying the same expensive card. There's like 400 different expensive cards that make up 50 different decks. It's just that they're all expensive.
So my Vegas strategy of like flipping a coin or like closing my eyes and pointing at one at random wouldn't work here.
No. Well, it would if you had money.
Okay, so wouldn't it work then?
You got to play standard. Standard's the one where you can get in on $20 and be okay.
I'll do it. Yeah. I'll go get a starter pack. I keep saying I'm going to get one. Yeah, every single
one
day.
I'm going to get you to
just
get
me one, and I'm going to play it to you just right, by well, choosing random.
You know
crap.
What? Your chance is coming up soon, because there's a new set coming out in October, and I might just force you to come with me and play.
I'll do it.
It's this thing called Battle for Zendikar. I don't know if I explained it to you yet.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure I've explained it on this podcast before. But basically, it's adventure. It's an adventure land. It's a world of adventure.
Adventure.
Yeah. The world is alive. It's like overflowing with magic and all this kind of stuff, like actual magic, what they call mana. And
so there's a lot of D&D like imagination going on.
There is,
right?
Okay. But it's also mixed with like a Indiana Jones type of feel, like this new set coming out.
All right.
So like there's like traps and quests and perils and stuff like that.
And panda bears wearing hats.
Panda bears wearing hats. But no panda bear.
Damn it. You had me so... You sold me for a second. I was so in.
But as I mentioned last week, there is the whole other angle, which is the Eldrazi, these Lovecraftian horrors coming to take over this planet and are literally killing it by being there. Like, they suck out the life from the planet.
You did mention... That actually did seem really cool to me last week. So now I'm back in.
All right, I'm back. Trust me, this is probably if there was a set that you would start magic in, this would be the set. Now, anyway, all that being said, there's that one of the big hype around these types of sets is that they for the previous Zendikar one, they made full art lands. So lands are what you use to play spells in the game.
Okay.
So you have a ton of them, and they're usually free. So in the previous one, they had lands that are about like an inch tall, and like it's a square on the card, and then the other half of it says this is a land, blah 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 blah. But in the new set, the whole card is the art. So every single land card you have,
land is in like a faraway land.
Land is in this resource you need to cast a spell.
Okay.
That's what.
Okay.
Yeah. So every single one of these resource cards is a giant piece of art. So like you get to see the artist's like actual rent, like what they consider this land, like the Zendikar world, to look like.
I do love Magic the Gathering art. I gotta say that they've always really rocked that pretty hard.
So people are super duper hyped because these full art, not only are the full art lands going to be in the set, but you can get packs that come with like 50 of them, and people are going crazy for it because they're going to stick them in their decks because it looks amazing.
Hmm.
Yeah, it looks super cool, and I know I'm going to probably be one of those people because I want full art lands.
Hooray!
And I want to show them off, and everyone's going to do the same thing. It's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome.
Are you going to be like the bell of the ball when you whip one out? So like, look at my land, and you're like, ooh!
Yeah, everyone's gonna be like, ooh, that one is so cool. I tell you, man, it's going to be like, I'm going to play at a tournament, and people are going to see the lands and be like, oh, damn, I love that one. Oh, it looks so cool. And
bro,
I'm
so jealous of your land.
Get Swifty.
Okay. Floor.
Anyway, so yeah, those are three big magic things that happened this week, and I can go into it, but I'm going to save it for my own personal podcast on magic that I'm going to make soon, so. You know,
we have a studio, so
we do.
Why the H if not, as they say?
If you want more magic news, I can give him more at my Setting the Standard podcast. But this is just a report on.
We'll link it soon in the description somewhere.
Anyway, all right. Well, enough about my thing.
There was another little card story.
Oh, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah.
I liked his story so much that I cut him off, and I'm like, don't tell me the ending until we're on microphone.
He brought up the other story that I did, which was I went to a little bachelor party from some friends. And,
woo, stag party!
We played Texas Hold'em, and I don't know how to play Texas Hold'em that well. Like,
as
I mean,
one
I just know
does.
The game. Yeah.
As one does.
Huh? And so we were betting and stuff, and it came to a point where I was like one of the guys went all in with a bunch of chips. I went all in. I somehow had managed to get some chips, and I had an almost straight. So like the flop happened, the three cards came down.
Sure,
nothing for me.
Okay.
Then the next one came down, nothing for me. And we're raising bets. I'm like, you know what, raise bets because I could still get a straight if I hit the one card I need. The river came, and it was a jack.
Okay.
And I'm just like, that's my card.
Did
raise.
You?
Yeah, I raised it. He called it. And then I flipped, and I'm like, I got a straight. I got a like a high straight, and the guy had like a two pair or something like that. I'm just like, he's just like, what the fuck?
You won all the imaginary money?
Yes.
I was the winner. I actually actively tried to get a pair of twos and win on that, just because if you win on that, you just go, pair of two. and it's really just really demeaning towards everybody.
It is.
Speaking of demeaning, I'm going to make you listen to my little obsession usually every single week.
It's okay. There are definitely people. First of all, there are definitely people out there that like it.
Yeah, I know.
And second of all, I enjoy it. And third of all, I'm excited because of what SummerSlam.
Okay, so it's wrestling news. In case you haven't gotten to that part yet, it's an unhealthy obsession that takes up probably a little bit too much of my time, but I don't mind.
That's
I really
okay.
don't mind.
They're all out there.
And this was a really good weekend for wrestling. Well, good and bad. Just first off, before I hop into the WWE news, because there's just so much of it, condolences go out to Alex Shelley. He was a TNA wrestler. He's now working in the independent scene. He's doing a Ring of Honor show, and he got his teeth shattered. His front two teeth. Just he's wearing like a mouth guard, too, and he took a knee to the face, which shattered it, which is funny because, not funny, but a little bit ironic.
It just makes my teeth hurt, right?
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. His sister came to see him wrestle for the first time.
Oh, man.
And now they're like, please retire. And he's like, no, it doesn't always happen. But I find that, you know, incidental because Seth Rollins kneed John Cena in the face a few weeks back, and so they're probably going to ban that for a while.
The knees to the face.
Yeah, I don't want to bury... I'm going to bury the lead We all know Seth Rollins and John Cena had an amazing match. I'm going to talk about that after the rest of it. First off, we had NXT TakeOver Brooklyn Saturday. Freaking phenomenal. The first matchup, it was Tyler Breeze versus Jushin Thunder Liger. Jushin Thunder Liger is about 67 years old, but you can't tell because he's covered head to toe in like Century Power Rangers garb. Still moves like a young guy. Breeze lost. I'm not too thrilled about that. I don't really see the point of Breeze not going over. He's been kind of on
Drew, are you talking about Drew Breeze, the quarterback for...
Yes.
For the
yes,
Chargers?
He made a... Is that real? Is that a real person?
Yeah, it's a quarterback. He's a quarterback. That's all I know.
But football season. It was a something. Good match regardless. I'm happy with it. The Vaudevillains currently may be my favorite thing.
Oh, those guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Were they at SummerSlam?
Yeah. No, they were at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. They won the NXT tag titles with the help of Blue Pants, who is...
That's a great name, too.
They're so gimmicky that it works. Like, it's essentially like somebody being like, we're going to make you old-timey, silent-era bad guys, and you're going to come out to piano music, and they're like, we'll figure out a way to make it work, and it works.
They don't even need to figure out a way. Yeah, that just sells itself.
They're so fun to watch. They're amazing in-ring performers. I couldn't be happier with that. Bayley defeated Sasha Banks. I know you like Bayley.
Wow.
I'm super happy about that. I maintain that she could be the next John Cena merchandise machine.
Bayley?
Yeah.
Really?
Snap
Sasha, isn't Sasha Banks like the quintessential women wrestler right now?
There are a few, and we'll get to that, but none of them really have a lot of like marketability towards merchandise. They all have a t-shirt. Bailey's got t-shirts, she's got slap bracelets, she's got headbands, she got streamers. They're all bright colors.
She's selling that
she's
rainbow
aimed
bright shit.
At very much so. She could be a merchandise machine if they actually used it. But she beat Sasha Banks. It was a tear-filled victory. Sasha and Charlotte, Ric Flair's daughter, came out, and Becky Lynch. They all started the whole Divas thing together, or women's, I should say, wrestling thing in NXT together. They all came out, and they broke kayfabe, and they hugged, and they did the four fingers up, like the four horsemen. They're calling themselves the four horsewomen, because even though three of them are going on to WWE, Bayley's still going to rock NXT for another few years, which, rock on. I'm entirely okay with.
Yeah.
Finn Balor.
Oh, yeah, I know that. It's a Canadian guy, right?
No, he's Irish.
Oh.
Defeats Kevin Owens.
That's the Canadian
guy. Who is the Canadian guy in a ladder match. I feel like they both got pretty banged up in that. I feel like they set up a spot and then Finn twisted his ankle or something.
Oh, Jesus.
And couldn't... I feel like they just ended it abruptly. But it was a good match.
They were just end it.
It was a damn good match. And, to their credit, I was thinking to myself, how is SummerSlam going to top this? And lo and behold, they found a way because SummerSlam was the next night. We'll go through just the matches one by one. The ones that I actually cared about. Like, for instance, Randy Orton versus Sheamus, I didn't give two fucks about.
I didn't even know what was happening. Because I didn't watch wrestling that often, so.
Randy Orton's a great performer. Sheamus is tall, I guess.
Sheamus is, he's pale.
He's pale, so he's got that pale going for him. And, yeah, Sheamus won, but whatever. I don't really, I have nothing. I have nothing for that because I couldn't tell you the amount of apathy that I'm experiencing right now.
Oh, poor guys.
They did a four-way tag team title match, which kind of bums me out because I won't get into it, but it kind of seems like the tag team division is just like, oh, you're a minority. Go for the tag team. I won't get into it. It bugs me. Like, I even wrote a tweet where it's like, oh, you're Hispanic? Here's your mask. Go wrestle the black guys. It's just like, come on. Give them better shots.
That's annoying.
Give them...
We need another Eddie
Guerrero. Give Titus O'Neil a title shot. Yeah. That's what I want. Anything. There was a Ryback match. I actually cared so little about the Ryback match, I went to the store to go get some trail mix.
Was still going on?
Yeah. Oh, God. I did not care. I did not care.
Or Ryback.
At all. Becky Lynch defeats Brie Bella. They did this weird three-way Divas elimination match where they had three teams of three, uh-huh. And if one person got pinned, they all went out.
Oh.
And
I see. Yeah,
so I really didn't... The whole Divas division is really bugging me. Apparently, Charlotte was supposed to pretty much get the Divas title.
Uh-huh. Who's Charlotte?
Yeah.
That's Ric Flair's daughter, right?
Yeah. Because she's a phenomenal performer.
Yeah.
And John Cena's just like, no, I like my girlfriend having the title. And she's going to be the longest reigning champion, even though she hasn't defended the title. I want to say 5 months. I want to say 5 months since she's had a title match. And it bugs the crap out of me. And it was really... I made a joke on Twitter. All of them were wearing, like, extensive amount of hair extensions. Like, they all looked like they had lion manes. It was it was a bit odd.
Gotta look good or something.
It looked good, but we kept making jokes like, ooh, she gonna pull that weave out? And I'm just like, okay.
That would be awesome.
That would be great. That'd be great. It happened once in a match. Like, the weave came out, and she actually, like, started beating.
Oh, that's great.
I want to say it was Sasha Banks, but it was a good match. My opinion, the match of the night, I'm doing these, trying to do them in chronological order. Seth Rollins versus John Cena, champion versus champion. Whoever wins is the World Heavyweight Champion and the United States Champion.
Oh, double feature.
They did a great job of pacing John Cena's six moves in between Seth Rollins' awesome offense. Mm-hmm. Like, Seth Rollins would do, like, a bunch of really cool shit, and then Cena would hit him with the power slam. And then Seth Rollins would do a bunch of cool shit, and John Cena would do the springboard stunner. And then Seth Rollins, like, frog splashing, something he's never done, and John Cena would hit the FU. But... it was a controversial ending, kinda. Jon Stewart came out.
Huh.
Late night host Jon Stewart came out with the chair, and he's had some run-ins with Seth Rollins.
Awesome.
And he thought, everyone's like, oh, because he kicked Seth Rollins in the nuts that one time. He's gonna win it for John Cena. Good old John and John. And he hit John Cena with it. And put the chair down. Seth Rollins gave him a pedigree on the chair, and I rejoiced. I was like, this is wrestling
awesome magic.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Here's, like, how one-sided / two-faced I may be. If that had gone the other way, where he hit Seth Rollins and John Cena won, I'd be like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, this
is ruining wrestling. But because it's in my favor.
Isn't that awesome of them to be able to read the audience, though? So
they're
like,
starting,
they know,
they're
they
starting
know, like,
to smarten yeah. up.
So, wait, who won?
Oh, Seth Rollins won.
Oh, okay.
Seth Rollins
wow,
is the first
John
ever.
Cena lost?
Yep. Seth Rollins is the first ever U.S. and World Heavyweight Champion.
All right, cool, man,
which
I guess.
Friggin' love Seth Rollins.
Jon Stewart,
he's
man.
An amazing in-ring performer, and he's great on the mic.
I want to see this now.
I'll show it to you after this. After that, though, I say that was the match of the night. Just pound for pound, most entertaining. But the main event, the match of the night for everybody else, was Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar.
Oh, okay.
Not a lot of hype you need, because it makes itself. Brock Lesnar beat Undertaker at WrestleMania 2 years ago. Undertaker's, you know, an undead magical boxing wizard, and Brock Lesnar's a shaved bear.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a hell of a fight, but it was a little uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah?
Undertaker's
showing his age?
Yeah, because he's old, and, you know, he's a big guy, so you can tell, like, he took some bumps that a lot of people were uncomfortable with.
Yeah.
Like, you could see, like, he got F5 through a table, and he landed right on his ribs, and a lot of people were just like, that's broken.
Yeah.
It had great moments. It had, like, they both stood, like, sat up and laughed at each other. And it's the first time in wrestling I think I've seen people, like, slugging while trying to stand up. Like, lying down, like, punching, sitting up punching, standing up punching.
Interesting.
Yeah. But it was just a little uncomfortable to watch. And the ending was awful. So, Undertaker gets Brock Lesnar in Hell's Gate. Gets him in a Kimura lock, trying to break his arm. And the bell rings. And the ref's like, why is the bell ringing? And the bell ringer's like, I saw him tap. He just tapped. And at first I'm like, oh, they're going to do a screw job? What the hell? And so the ref's like, no. You don't ring the bell, so I tell you to ring the bell. Restart the match. And while Brock Lesnar has his back turn, Undertaker hits him in the nuts, which is the new Undertaker move.
The nut shot.
For the past three times you've seen Brock Lesnar, either kicks or punches him in the nuts.
Uh-huh.
Which I think they need to, like, they need to call it, like, you know, the resurrection or something. Just give it, like, an evil-sounding name. And then he puts Brock Lesnar in the Hell's Gate, and Brock Lesnar gives him the finger before passing out. And by passing out, I mean they rang the bell, said he was passed out, and then he stood up like 5 seconds later.
Okay.
So, but the whole thing is,
so
when he
Brock
rang the bell,
Lesnar passed out.
But here's the thing. So Brock Lesnar had him in the lock, and the referee was trying to check Brock Lesnar's shoulders to see if they're on the mat, because Undertaker was trying to angle him, and Undertaker tapped.
So Undertaker
have footage of him tapping out, so he lost the match.
Oh, shit.
But
controversy.
But it's the worst kind of controversy.
Yeah.
It really is. If this was the NFL, they'd be like, all right, timeout, review the tape.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, you can't do that in pro wrestling, because somehow it's less realistic, or it's more realistic than the NFL.
You gotta be fair, man.
But I didn't like that ending. I wish they would have ended the match, or the night, with Seth Rollins. That was my highlight. He looked like the White Ranger. The White Power Ranger.
Oh, really?
Oh, God. He came out looking like that was another joke of the
Ooh.
Night. I tweeted about it.
I like the White Power Ranger.
It was
White
good.
Power.
How did nobody see that coming? I've said it so many times. How has nobody seen, like, when they're making a show, like, okay, what do we need? A Black Power Ranger? Well, we might want to even that out a little. It's weird.
So can I? Are you almost done with wrestling? Or
I'm gonna check my notes. I think that's it. I want to say that's it.
Because I have one wrestling thing I want to add in.
Oh yeah.
Because I know this happened at SummerSlam. Was that the Arrow was there?
Right.
During the tag team thing.
Yes.
And I've only seen the. I literally only saw the clips of Stephen Amell doing his stuff,
his shtick.
And it looked cool. I mean, for an actor, right?
He went to school. He went to church. He straight up.
I heard that. Yeah, he did some training.
He did some training. He learned how to bump. He wasn't busting out anything too technical. Mostly just punching and shoving.
Yeah.
He did take a dive off the top rope.
I saw that. That was cool.
And he did it like a champ.
Yeah.
And then but a lot of people are joking. They're like, it's weird because he's in good shape.
Yeah.
He's strong. Yeah, he's really cut. Good
shape. He's a tall guy, too.
Yeah, yeah, but looking, like, sitting next to, like, a guy like Neville, who, even though he's shorter, it's just built like a brick
shit house. I saw that, too. I was like, damn, that guy is way more...
There's a noticeable difference bulky. Between, like, anybody's like, I could be a wrestler, just get in shape. No, you need to be in superhuman shape.
Stephen was... I feel like to his defense, Stephen was also in the off-season of the Arrow filming,
I would have liked if they would have put more Arrow stuff in it. Like, he came out with the hood on.
He came with the hood, yeah.
But it was black.
No, it was green. I don't know. It looked green to me.
I saw black, and he just had, like, shorts and boots on.
I feel like all they needed was that hoodie, though.
I would have liked some theatrics.
All right. Well, he kind of, like, was, like, scared to slide in the ring. You can tell, like, he was new and nervous and shit.
I mean, don't get me wrong. He's wrestling in front of the entire Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Anybody would be. Like, a lot of, like, the one that I forgot. The guy, Apollo Crews. Originally UHA Nation, but we won't go on that. They just decided to give him a name because I'm not going to go into it. Anyway, he debuted, and I guess they put the mic a little too close to him while he was walking to the ring. He's like, wow, that's a lot of people. A little nervous. But he didn't know the mic was on, so he's smiling through it and talking himself through it. He did awesome.
That's great.
But
that's hilarious.
Kudos to Stephen Amell. It worked.
Man.
The match was believable. It wasn't, because you get a lot of celebrities that want to hop in the ring, and a lot of them are just like, yeah, I want to win by doing, a move. But he knew his role to play. He played it well. It didn't take away from the match at all.
Yeah.
And so I'm in. I'm rocked it. Good for you, Stephen Amell. You get 5 arrows out of 5.
Five arrows. I'll rate it.
Out of the quiver.
I'll rate it 34 hoodies. 34 green hoodies out of 35.
35. Because he didn't have an outfit.
Nope.
Okay, then I'm knocking down to 4 arrows in the quiver. Okay. 4 arrows in the quiver. That we may need to make that like a new comic book judging system.
We're going to develop rating systems soon.
And speaking of which, because this is first and foremost a comic book podcast.
Yeah.
And as I say first and foremost, I realize the irony that now we're doing that segment last.
Yeah. Last and foremost.
Because... not as much comic book news as you would like,
but not for us at least right now. I have to admit I've been a little out of the comic book game.
I've been reading a lot of graphic novels and not so much superhero stuff.
So,
but we talked about last week. They do the 1940s bombshell, style heroines. So
they have more of them, more concepts, and they're putting them on wallets now apparently. So. I mean, they're like they've showed Zatanna, Stargirl, Hot Girl, and then one more that I can't remember. But it looks really sweet, and I'm looking forward to more content from that series. Then there is what's his face, Baltimore.
That's what I was just gonna get to. It's comic book news. It's not the good kind. It's not the kind we like. We're going to start off first with Batgirl, the original Batgirl in the 1960s Adam West TV show, Yvonne Craig.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She died.
Oh, poor
Batgirl. Was a bummer. She was in a handful of episodes, but she went all out. She had a motorcycle. It was awesome.
She was nice.
And she lost a long-term thing with breast cancer, which is great for a comedy podcast. but that's not the only death in the family, no pun intended, Batman-wise. The Baltimore Batman. If you haven't heard of him, the guy was just a legend. His name is Lenny Robinson. Just had a buttload of money, and he got himself a Batman costume, and he started going to hospitals and just being like, hey, if they like Batman, I'll cheer him up. They loved him there. He got a black Lamborghini.
It's awesome.
One time he got pulled over because he didn't have the plates on. He just had the bat symbol. They pulled him over, and, there's this great image online of, police questioning Batman. He's like, oh, my license plates are inside the car. No problem. Here you go. Apparently, his car broke down. He was in the hood, and he got rear-ended and almost death instantly, which is a bummer. not sucks, just Batman man. News, but because the guy was just like,
it's like what kind of dumbass?
The staff of the hospital. No, it had to be an accident, but I mean, the staff of the hospital knew him well, and he was just.
No, I'm just like, fuck that guy who ran into him. You know, yeah. Like, drive better.
Drive better. Can't you see it's Batman?
Yeah,
but
pay attention,
you know,
to the road or something.
That's a bummer, but he had a great life. So I don't know if you remember this last time's podcast. But we're ending up with the long shot.
Yeah,
which is where we should put a sound effect. We'll do it in post. Bing. Fix it in post.
Like that. I don't know.
That's we're talking about this last week's events. Something that we really don't think is going to do so well. Last week you. Said Zorro.
I said
post-apocalyptic Zorro. You didn't think it's going to do well. I'm still holding out for it. I said the Pez movie. This week, what's your long shot? What do you think's not going to do so well?
Mine right now is Star Fox. Because I need more.
You need more than just, it's a new Star Fox.
Yeah, I need more. Okay, because like there's been I've been disappointed with a lot of the Star Foxes that they put out since Star Fox 64. So, I don't know. It just seems like it's the same old crap right now. So like, I'm waiting. It seems like a long shot right now, just because I don't know anything about it aside from this new vehicle. And like, a new vehicle is not enough for me to want to play this game yet. You know, okay. Sure, Star Fox is enough for me to be interested in the game, but to be want to play it, you got to show me some like adequate story, maybe some cool controls, and it better look pretty freaking good.
So if next week all that comes out and you're gonna be like, I take back my long shot, looks awesome, hooray.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to.
My long shot is Nathan Fillion playing Booster Gold.
Oh,
I love Nathan Fillion. I just don't see it. I don't think it's gonna happen. That's it. That's all our podcast. Go home, go do your thing, just
have fun.
Have
a beautiful time.
Get swifty.
Get swifty.